The good news is that you don't need to sit down and read the Bible from cover to cover in one massive chunk. All you need to do is read it one bit at a time. G'day everyone, my name is Mark Schroeder and welcome to Schroeder's Bible Bits. I'm a college chaplain and my job is to teach children and youth the wonderful truths that are found in God's Word, the Bible. I speak at chapels, at youth services, at church services, I teach at kids clubs and lunchtime Bible groups. At all of these places, I always teach from the Bible because I'm convinced that from the Bible, we get to learn about God and how He has loved us and how He has saved us through Jesus. Tune in and continue to learn about Jesus for yourself, not in one chunk, but bit by bit. G'day everyone, here's another Schroeder's Bible bit. This one is the last of the series that I did for staff about eschatology, talking about the future things that we believe as Christians. This one is about the hope of the new creation that comes when Jesus finally and wonderfully returns. Grab a seat everybody. You can take a seat. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Friday. Hip hip hooray. It's been a good day. It's been a good week as we have spent this time together doing exactly what we've just done. We've sung. We're going to read God's word again together. And then we're going to finish this morning as well by singing together because it has been a wonderful thing to sing together with our friends up here from our band. So thank you, guys. Special welcome to everybody that's here today that hasn't been here over the last couple of days. You've missed out on a great week. Yes, it's been busy, and yes, holidays is better than work. There's a new meme going around at the moment where people show beautiful footage of their holidays, and the voiceover says, in case you're wondering, yes, holidays are way better than work. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a no-brainer, but it's still wonderful to be here. It's great to be here together and to do this. To catch you up to speed, if you haven't been over for the last couple of days, is that we've been thinking about our eschatology. Eschatology is our fancy Christian way, Bible nerd way of saying the things that we believe about the last things. And because we don't believe that this is it. We believe that the Bible tells us that there is more to come. And so on Monday, we spoke about the truth from God's word that Jesus says He is coming back. And on Tuesday, we spoke about how when He comes back, Jesus is going to resurrect and He is going to redeem. On Thursday, we spoke about the shuddering truth that Jesus is coming back to judge. But today we're thinking about the beautiful truth that Jesus is coming back to bring a new creation. This is something to celebrate, it's something to look forward to, it's something to partner in as we progress from the garden to the city because we get to live a new life with the King for all of eternity. So as we come to God's word, please bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day where we get to, as Your people, gather together, sing praises to You. We get to open Your word. We get to hear from You directly. Thank You that as we do this, as we work together and put our hands to this kind of work, that it reminds us of what is to come when You return, a life in new creation with You, our great God and King. Please help us to be excited by this. Help us to be motivated by it. Help us to share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At my childhood church, it was Tarmor Baptist Church. Danny Cooper also was a member of that same church. Are you here, Danny, today? Yeah, you were, playing guitar. It was a great church. I loved growing up at that church. Lots of great opportunities there for me as a child. But our little church in Tarmor Baptist Church, it had a library, its very own library. I don't think there's many churches that have a library. Is there any churches here? The Baptists. See, the Baptists have got them. But it had this room, and it was really well organized. It had the old-fashioned cards and everything, you know, like the ones where you pull them out the back and you stamp it, and then you borrowed your book. And in there were theology texts, there were Bible commentaries, there were children's books, and then I remember this one big wall that was filled of the good old-fashioned cassette tape, because at our church we used to record all the sermons that our pastor and visiting pastors and missionaries and all that sort of stuff would do. And there's some real gems in there. I don't know what happened to that library. It would be great to be able to access it even today. After church, as children, we were allowed to go in there and we were allowed to borrow whatever we wanted. For me, one of my favourite books to continue to borrow over and over again was The Pilgrim's Progress. Are you with me on that? It's a great book, John Bunyan's classic allegory about Christian who encounters many dangers as he powers on towards the celestial city. Right? That's what it's about. I'll be completely honest and say that while I borrowed it many, many, many times, and while I know what the story's about, what I really loved about the Pilgrim's Progress was the pictures. I love the pictures in it, the one that was there on our library, on our library shelf. And particularly, there was one picture that I really loved, and it was the image of the celestial city, of Christians standing there looking at the city and beholding it for its magnificence, the shining golden aura that it was sort of blasting out to all of creation, the hues of rainbow, the shining ones that are flying around it. I remember just poring over that image and just looking at it for ages, just going, wow, this is cool, and just being captivated by the imagery of heaven, of the new creation. Just lately, my favourite bookshop, The Reformers. I don't know if anyone's with me on that one too. The Reformers, Wendy loves it. She's a bit obsessed. She's got a special visitor's VIP card. She spent way too much money there, right, Wendy? But they were selling it the other day, and I went, I've got to buy that. And sure enough, as I opened it up and I flicked to my very first page that I went to was the page of the Celestial City. And even last night, just as I was preparing again and thinking about this talk and getting ready, I flicked open and I just looked at this picture and just had a bit of a dreaming moment about this wonderful city that is to come. It's exciting, isn't it? The celestial city. Well, after Jesus brings judgment, we believe that for those of us who have put their trust in Jesus, we get to go there. We get to enjoy life forever in God's presence. And we talk about it as heaven, right? We talk about it as Jesus says, because Jesus says in Matthew 25, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Here's his kingdom that is coming. It's been prepared for us. And so we look forward to that time and place, this celestial city that is coming in the clouds, when there will be nothing bad or nothing sad, to steal a phrase out of a favorite kid's storybook when it talks about the curse in the garden. This great city where we look forward to the time where there'll be liberation for creation, when groaning will finally stop, as we hear about in Romans chapter 8, where there'll be no more death, there'll be no more decay, there'll be no more earthquakes, no more floods, no more droughts, no more wars, no more arguing politicians, no more viruses, no more COVID, no more curse of sin. That will be gone because Revelation 22 tells us that the old order of things has passed away. And so, as I've said, when referring to this time and place, we often talk about it as being heaven, that we get to go and live with God in heaven forever. However, the Bible tells us that we will live forever with God in a new earth and a new heaven, an entirely new and perfected creation, where we will forever be in God's presence. In God's word, we read how God promises through Isaiah 65, that God says, "I will create new heavens and new earth. The former things will not be remembered." See, it's a new creation. God also speaks of the new heavens and the new earth, which he will make in Isaiah 66:22. And we read yesterday and also on Tuesday in 2 Peter 3, that it says, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." There's new things coming. There's a new creation coming. It's coming from God because he has prepared it, he has made it, and he will bring it. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. This is a reference that's on your sheet. You might like to read along with me. Great imagery about this new heavens and this new earth. Says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" In Revelation, John seems to be talking about a new kind of merger of heaven and earth, a time when the holy city comes down out of heaven from God, and it's proclaimed that God will live with his people. that they will be his people and he will be their God, living with them in chapter 21, verse 3. He will live with them full time. We will be with him in his presence all the time. And I reckon that this is a significant distinction between Eden in Genesis and the new creation in Revelation. In the garden, humanity walked with God in the cool of the day, didn't they? We know that. But here in Revelation, we see that God is there with them all day, every day. Revelation 22:4 says that they will see God's face because he lives with them rather than just visiting them for that afternoon walk in the cool of the day. This is access. This is access to God like actually no one has ever had before. Think about it like this, that most of us will never see the face of the Queen in the real world, will we? Some of us might be lucky to have a fleeting handshake with the Prime Minister or maybe even the Governor General. But this part of the Bible says that in the end, we will see God face to face all the time. This is what happens when you trust in Jesus, see? You get access to God. And this is why we promote at Broughton life through Christ. You get access to God through living a life through Christ, by trusting in him only. As I read that part of the Bible in Revelation 21 and also in 22, I've always loved that comical picture of having God's name written on our foreheads. In chapter 22, verse 4, it says, they will see his face and God's name will be on their foreheads. I know I've said it's comical and I love the comical image, but I also love the truth that in the new creation, our identity is fully found in God. The very character of God will be evident in our lives as we live in new creation with him. It reminds me of Pixar's movie Toy Story. Has everyone seen Toy Story? Has anyone not? Okay, cool. Shame. No. Toy Story, all these toys, right, they're owned by Andy. And what does Andy do when he's got his favourite toys? He gets his marker out and he writes his name on the sole, no pun intended, Pixar. But he writes his name on the sole of the toy's feet. And the thing is that Woody and Buzz and the others, they proudly display their name as a badge of honour when it happens, don't they? Because after all, what do they bear? Well, they bear the name of the master. Their worth in Toy Story and their value is in Andy, their master. Well, just as ours in the new creation will be fully in God when we live with him in his new creation, perfected forever in his new heavens and his new earth. And so this is our hope. This is our hope that we have about the last things, that a new creation is coming. This is the essence of the heavenly life, a life with God in the new creation, to be filled with real identity, with real joy in God's presence. It's like what David says in Psalm 16, verses 9 to 11. This is on your sheet. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. Nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Filled with joy. Now, while this is our hope, this is also our goal. It's reality that we strive towards as we live in this heavens and earth, bearing in mind that this is not our home, but there's a new heaven and earth coming. This is not where we end up. And so what do? Well, we look ahead to a new life where we will go on living in a renewed creation together with God. And so as we've said this week, we pursue holiness and godliness. We don't store up treasures here on earth, Matthew 6. But instead, we store up treasures in eternity. Treasures in heaven with God is our goal. And I want to say that if we find it hard to make eternity a priority, if we make it hard to find eternity a priority for ourselves or even for others, so if it's hard for you to evangelize or if it's hard for you to find true value in your forever home with God in the new heavens and the new earth, I think the best remedy for that is to be reminded often of the beauty and the joy that comes with being in the presence of God. This is no small thing. And so I actually want to finish this series together by skimming over Revelation 21, 22. And I really mean skim, just so that we can simply get a mental image of what is ours in Christ. It's what John Bunyan tried to do as he wrote about the celestial city. So 21 and 22, I'm just going to skim over it. Okay, so buckle up. See, this his city, this new creation, is a holy city, 21 verse 2. It's a place that is described as being prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What an image. In that place, this new creation, death will be no more, as we've discovered. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. In heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, we can drink from the fountain of the water of life without payment. It's a city where the glory of God is radiant, like the most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal, chapter 21, verse 11. It's an immense city, bigger than even Dubai. Immense. It's wonderful. It's even a perfect cube, the Bible says. It measures 2,250 kilometers wide and high and deep. All of its sides are equal. Parts of the city are even constructed by immense precious jewels of various colours in chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. This city will be free from evil, for nothing unclean will enter it, the Bible says, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those whose name is written in the book of life. In God's city, we will even still have positions of rule over God's creation. For Revelation 22 says that we shall rule forever and ever. But as we have already discovered, the best thing about this heavenly city that is coming, the best thing about the new heavens and the new earth, the most important part is that we will see God face to face and we will be in relationship with God. And so let's take that a little bit deeper for a moment and consider that in the Old Testament, when God filled the temple with his presence, the priests could not be in that same space. Do you remember? They couldn't even touch some of the important things. You remember what that happened to that guy who touched the box as it went to fall when the donkey tripped? He got knocked down. The glory of God is too powerful for people to be around in the Old Testament. Even when the glory of God surrounded the angels and the shepherds at the birth announcement of Jesus, we discover that the shepherds were terrified by the glory of God. But this isn't the case in the new creation. In the new creation, God's glory fills creation so much that in Revelation 21, 23, we discover that it doesn't need a sun because God's glory is so shiny. But the good thing is, we will be able to stay in that glory forever and ever. And in that glory, we will be able to worship God. We will be able to praise God. That is no small thing, to stand in someone's presence and worship them. Gee, it's been great to gather this week around God's word, to think about these wonderful things from God's word, even to stand together and to sing praises to him and to gather together with the people from St. Peter's as well and Cask and to do that together in community. It's also been good to put our hands to the work of the gospel together here at Broughton. That's what we do, right, when we work here with one another. And surely these are the times when we experience just a little bit of what is in store for us. When we get a taste of what is to come. A little taste of the glory of the heavens and the new earth that's coming. These are the moments when surely we need to sigh and say, today was a good day. This was a good moment that we have shared together because really my highest joy is when I get to give glory to God. And this is but a little taster of the things that are coming when the new heavens and the new earth come down out of the sky, when Jesus fully and finally returns, when God's city comes, and it is proven to be way better than even this day. Listen more to Revelation 22, 6 to 7. It's on your sheet as well. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophet, sent his angel to show this servant," that's John, "the things that must soon take place." And then Jesus says, verse 7, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll." If the Queen said to you that she was coming to your house, actually, let's be honest, if your work colleague said that they were coming to your house, you would vacuum, you would clean, you would mop, you would bake, you would prepare a meal, surely you would even put the kettle on. You would prepare for their arrival, wouldn't you? You would prepare for the face-to-face time that you're going to share with that person. But the Bible says, Jesus says, look, I'm coming soon. And he is unspeakably greater than the queen. He is unspeakably greater than the person sitting next to you on your table who may come and visit you this afternoon. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And so let's heed his word and prepare for these last days. Let's be motivated by these last days for mission. Mission so that others are also ready to gather with us in this city. Don't you want to live in the land watered by the river of life? Don't you want to see your loved ones and your students and the nations eat with you from the tree of life? Don't you want to gather with the multitude and bear the name of God on your forehead forever in the presence of God, fully and completely finding your identity in him? Don't you? Yes. Also, turn from your sin. Repent. Believe the good news of Jesus Christ. And then encourage others to do the same. Live your life through Christ, but urge others to do the same. Let's pray. It's incredible, Heavenly Father, that we can even get a glimpse of who you are and what you have done for us. It's incredible that you would even be mindful of us, especially because we are sinners. But thank you for your amazing grace, for your incredible love, for your amazing work of salvation when you sent Jesus to die in our place. Thank you for the atonement that has been made for us on our behalf. And so we thank you that because of your work, because of your saving grace, that we can look forward to days better than this, that we can look forward to full redemption with you, right relationship with you, eternity in a new heavens and a new earth. Lord, I really pray wholeheartedly that you would motivate us and stir us up for gospel mission, stirring up a passion for living holy and godly lives today, but also, Lord, please put a fire in our belly to help others to be ready for the day that you return. Lord, our hearts break as we see the broken world, as we see our friends and our family who don't know you go on thinking that this is it. So, Lord, please help us to open our mouths, to preach Jesus Christ the Saviour, to preach life through Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can get in contact with me via Twitter at MRKSchroeder or on the Anchor app, you can actually leave a voice message. I'd love you to do that and I might include it in the next podcast. Catch you later.